You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky Rhett back with you. And we've got a fun one today. We are going to get into this Thursday night football matchup, give you a little preview on that one. Looking forward to that. That's coming up in just a few moments. But I say we jump right in here because I want to focus on the defensive side of the ball. And I don't think there's a mystery that you've seen the Michigan Wolverines take over the Big Ten. And it hasn't just been because of Jim Harbaugh and his coaching. It's also been because of the players that they've gone out, recruited, and developed, and specifically on the defensive side of the ball. And we're seeing that translate to the next level. Look, this is not just because our producer, Drew, is a Michigan guy. This was actually my idea, so I'll take the bullets on this one from my Big Ten co-host here with Rhett, who's already, he's already frustrated. You can already see just rolling his eyes, shaking his head.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about, yes. I always think about factories, right? What schools produce certain positions? We've talked about it with the LSU and Ohio State wide receivers, the job that they've done over the years. There's tight ends. Think about Iowa and Notre Dame have produced a lot of tight ends. I think one of the underrated factories right now is edge rushers at the University of Michigan. You can see it right there in front of us. 14 and a half sacks by Michigan defenders. So guys who played their college ball at Michigan in the NFL. That's the most of any college in the league so far through 3 weeks. So it is a list of guys. Think about Aiden Hutchinson, Quiddy Pay, Rashawn Gary, even Mike Dana is getting after a little bit. Rhett, any of those guys stand out to you? Have you had a chance to peek at any of them? And then Buck, you can follow them up there.
Couple of things. By the way, do you remember yesterday when I was talking about Justin Fields on the show, or on Monday when I was talking about Justin Fields on the show, and I mentioned the second play, the right guard got absolutely destroyed. Well, it was Mike Dana that actually was part of that. I didn't call it out at the time, but yeah, so he's obviously doing quite well on the interior there for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know what? This is kind of interesting because I was thinking about this, and you know, I want a disclaimer. I love Ryan Day as a coach. Okay. I feel like we need to get some Ohio out here. Okay. Before talking about all this Michigan, I love what he's done at Ohio State. He's the perfect guy for that job. But you know what? The turn, because we used to think about Ohio State in this way, right? Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Chase Young, and they had that run up at the top of the draft. Well, kind of ever since the pendulum shifted into Michigan's favor, you kind of look back and it's kind of been those edge rushers that have really kind of taken over and have been those bigger pieces of their team's, you know, impact at the college level. And then obviously continuing it into the National Football League. So Rashawn Gary is one of those guys that, you know, we thought, you know, he was a super highly recruited dude. And I think folks in Michigan will tell you they probably expected a little bit more, you know, out of him while he was there. But you always knew he had that ridiculous potential and athleticism, and he was going to reach that at the next level, and he really has. I mean, since coming back from the injury, he's been fantastic. I thought the Falcons actually did a pretty good job on him, kind of making him think a little bit. And, you know, he wants to go, you know, ears pinned back, get into the backfield, get to the quarterback. But, you know, they had some of that mesh game working with Ritter and Bijan, and so they kind of eliminated that a little bit. But, boy, the Saints ran into a buzzsaw with Gary this week. I mean, Spencer Penning got some. Ryan Ramczyk got some twice. They even put a sixth offensive lineman out there outside of Ramczyk to kind of lengthen the runway to the quarterback. Didn't matter. Beat him like a drum and got to Jameis Winston once Derek Carr was out. And by the way, it was a Rashawn Gary sack that unfortunately took Derek Carr out of the game. He's been really, really good. And he comes off both sides. They can move him around. It's a lot of fun to watch for the Packers there, Buck.
You know, what's funny, Rashawn Gary, the evaluation was hard because he was more athlete than playmaker during his time at Michigan. Well, the guy I'm going to talk about, Aiden Hutchinson, was playmaker and athlete. You saw it his final season at Michigan where he just crushed it off the edge. He's continued to crush it in the National Football League. Aiden Hutchinson is an absolute monster coming off the edge. And as this Detroit Lions team kind of steps into being a contender, playoff contender, maybe eventual title contender, a lot of it will be due to their ability to improve on defense. And that defense is led by a guy who's an energizer bunny off the edge, and Aiden Hutchinson. He talked about being so successful coming off the edge. He's going to have to practice new dances. He's running out of material after he sacks the quarterback because like he didn't know that he would be able to get to the quarterback as often. And I know Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn love the fact that he's able to put consistent pressure on the quarterback. As this team continues to play in these big games, as they get closer to making their playoff run, Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a guy that gets a lot of attention because he is the most dominant player on their front line.
Yeah, you know, I go back and look through my notes when I went back and watched these guys. Aiden Hutchinson on, you know, going through PFF and watching the video on the cutups, 21 pressures. He, of all these guys, moves around everywhere. I mean, he is standing up. He's in, he's a head up over a tight end. He's an inside shade of a tackle. They'll play him in some three technique stuff, let him rush over guards. Like, he moves up and down the line, hand down, standing up. He can, you know, he can do anything. His versatility is a big asset to that defense. And depending on the matchup, we always talk about find the tomato can, like who is the weak link of that offensive line. Mm-hmm. Aiden Hutchinson has that ability to go over that guy and get after him and make things happen. He can do it with speed. He can do it with power. Anyways, just the most versatile of all these guys. Talked about Rashawn Gary. You know, that is he's the most twitched up, just how explosive he is. You saw the testing numbers that he had coming out. He's a freak. He's not as polished and not as versatile as Hutchinson, but he's more dynamic, more explosive. And then the one we didn't have a chance to hit on yet that I want to touch on is Kwity Paye. I went back and looked up my notes on him coming out. He was somebody who was he was 6024, 261. He ran 4.57. So you're talking about, again, crazy explosive. Moved around the defense at Michigan. He's better when he has a runway on the edge. He's explosive. He plays with violence. He has to play run to pass at times, so they didn't just totally cut him loose there. But you could really see him close down the backside, and he's strong. So let's fast forward to what he's shown. He's got a sack in each of the three games this year. He's got 9 pressures. When he's on the edge, they widen him out. They get him in that 4-point track stance. I mean, they run a lot of that jet front stuff that we talk about with the Niners. The Jets run it. The Eagles run it, where they put him out there and they literally cut him loose. And that's where you see that speed to power that he has just kind of coming out of that track stance. And then all these guys, if you look at all of them going through all my notes, the effort, Buck, is phenomenal. And that's like the underrated aspect of pass rushers is effort and finish. They're obviously getting that at Michigan. Something that Michigan deserves a lot of credit for because these guys play, they play hard, they play 100 miles an hour, and they get some cleanup work as well as just winning right off the snap. All right, let's get to some of these new defensive coordinators. Talk about some of the individual defensive players having an impact. How about some of these coordinators going to new spots and making it work? You see there at the top of the list, points per game allowed. Jim Schwartz taking over in Cleveland. They are number one in the league. You see these other names, Steve Wilks with the Niners. You see Joe Woods with the Saints, Ryan Nielsen with the Falcons. Those guys are all top 7 in points allowed. And then Arizona, Nick Rouse, it tied for 16th. Also, you know, Jonathan Gannon helping with that defense as well. But it's interesting, Buck, when you see these guys, new coordinators, new guys in charge, and you see instant success. That tells me a lot about not only, you know, how bright these guys are and how well their team responds to them. I think it says a lot about the marriage of the scheme they're running and the players they have.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think it's a coincidence that two of the guys at the top of the list, Jim Schwartz and Steve Wilks, are experienced coordinators, done it for a long time. They know how to kind of call games in this league. And as you pointed out, they understand how to fit the scheme around the players that they have. Jim Schwartz is the one that I've really been excited about because this Cleveland team, we've talked about it for the last couple of years in terms of how loaded their roster is. Well, now they have a coach on the defense side of the ball that really knows how to utilize the personnel. Miles Garrett, three and a half sacks on a day. Jim Schwartz is absolutely unlocking Myles Garrett. And to think about the talent that Myles Garrett has and what he's been able to do in the league before Jim Schwartz gets there, the fact that everyone knows that he is the point on the sword, he is the go-to guy, but Schwartz is still able to get him those one-on-one matchups. It talks to the schematics that he's able to bring and how this team is really going. I'm excited to see the Browns kind of step into who they are. They are a defensive-led team that is able to run the football and do some of the things on offense, but it's that defense that's going to carry them far. this team, we've talked about it, this team is a sneaky title contender. As Jim Schwartz keeps calling it like he's calling it, this team is going to be one of the teams that's the last one standing in the end.
Yeah, and if Deshaun Watson gives us more of what we saw this past week from the quarterback spot and continues to build on that, I would agree with you, Bucky. And, you know, DJ, you had the mea culpa on Monday with the Cardinals, and I think everybody's got to take a little bit of that messaging moving forward here. And I think a big piece of this is what they've done on defense, and it really shouldn't come as a huge surprise, even though we can all, you know, make the assessment that the Eagles' defensive personnel is a lot better still than what the Cardinals have. And Jonathan Gannon, you know, pushed all the right buttons with that Eagles team, you know, these last couple of years, now comes over to the Cardinals. And I think you got to give him and you got to give Nick Rouse a ton of credit for putting the guys that they have in the best possible positions to make plays. And I think what you're also seeing is that a team that may be a little bit, you know, less than in terms of perceived talent compared to the rest of the league, you have a good, solid defense that you feel comfortable with, that you can rely on, and it's going to serve you well. And they're obviously causing problems for offenses that we thought were going to be a lot more capable. You know, look at the Giants, look at the Cowboys each of the last 2 weeks. Now, they blew that game against the Giants, but they were in position. They've been in position in the fourth quarter in all of these games. And that defense, DJ, is a big reason why I think we got to give Rallis and Gannon and that whole defensive staff and, you know, those guys like Zaven Collins, and they even have Buda Baker hasn't even been available for him for this whole season. So I'm really impressed with the way that they've kind of rallied the troops there.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at it. We always talk about finishing. We just talked about it a little earlier about those Michigan pass rushers and the effort they play within the finish. I was pulling up some of these numbers on the Arizona Cardinals to speak to the importance of finishing. They are 23rd in pressures, okay? They're 23rd in pressures, okay, towards the bottom. They are dead last in hits and quarterback hits. They're 32nd. They're 7th in sacks. So they're not getting a ton
they
of pressure.
Count.
They're not hitting the quarterback a ton. But when they get back there, they finish and they make those things count, as you just said, Rhett. So hats off to them. They have done a nice job there. Jonathan Gannon deserves a lot of credit for how hard this group's playing. They are not super talented. I mean, we weren't off base when we said what we said before the season started. This looks like a team that should probably have the first pick in next year's draft. It's going to be a long slog, but they're maximizing what they do have. And when they've got opportunities, they're making plays. So, nicely done there by Jonathan Gannon with the Arizona Cardinals. All right. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we've got some more work to do here. We're not done. We'll finish this thing up right after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
L-A-S-I-K. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
All right, Thursday night football. This is a juicy one. It's a divisional matchup. It's two teams that are off to good starts this year. I feel like this is a collision course for the division. I don't think that's going out on much of a limb there. It's pretty obvious. It's the Lions and the Packers Thursday night at Lambeau Field. And Buck, you know the environment there at Lambeau, especially in a night game. That place is going to be absolutely rocking. And Jordan Love gets his first taste of this rivalry. What are your expectations on the Green Bay side of this thing?
Expectations, Jordan Love to continue to take another step. This is a huge game for Jordan Love because he's coming off the comeback win that kind of maybe kind of solidified himself amongst the fans base as the next guy. And now you have an opportunity to kind of maybe take care of the team that knocked your team out of the playoffs. And so if he steps his game up, you talk about this environment being absolutely bananas. Jordan Love can feed off that energy. And if he feeds off the energy and continues to play the way that he's played at the position, the Green Bay Packers are going to be where they want to be at the end of the year. This young quarterback is figuring it out. this team is figuring out a new way to play post Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love has a big game ahead, but if he plays well, man, the fan base and all his teammates are really going to love how he's progressing as their new QB1.
Bucky, I love how you kind of real time really talked yourself into that on Love being the guy now in Green Bay. You're like, well, wait, and no, yes. And there it is. Like, I'm with you too, man. I kind of talked myself into it this week after watching that fourth quarter. That was a lot of fun. This is a dude that's starting to feel it, right? That's starting to get comfortable and confident in what he's being asked to do and then going out there and executing it. I think, you know, look, there's still some things to clean up there. Obviously, the first three quarters weren't pretty. But again, this is a team that was playing without Christian Watson, Bakhtiari, Elton Jenkins, Aaron Jones. I mean, like, the list goes on and on. Arguably, you know, four of their best players on offense, maybe the four best outside of Jordan Love. So I really like if they can start getting a little bit healthier that this team and it'll be I think that'll be dependent, you know, especially in a game against the Lions here with, you know, guys like Hutchinson, you know, coming off the edge or in the interior, wherever the heck he's going to be, as we already talked about. It's going to be important to have your best offensive line out there, to have Aaron Jones available to you if you need it, you know, both in the run and the pass game. But I just like the way that Jordan Love is starting to kind of grow into this thing here. And it was clear in that fourth quarter, man, this is his team. This is his offense. He's taken ownership of it. And he's giving his best when his best is required. And I thought that was awesome to see that first game-winning comeback, that first game-winning drive for Jordan Love as QB1 in Green Bay. It might come down to that, DJ, against this Lions team.
Yeah, this is a Lions team that, you know, they're comfortable going in there. This is a group that just went in there at the end of the season last year and did what they needed to do. Jared Goff playing with a lot of confidence. This is a team that I think has the ability to go in there, handle that. It's not going to be big for them. Primetime game. It's not. They've been there, done that. And it's a young team with that confidence, which is rare to find. Normally you get kind of a young, impressionable, play hard group, or you get an old veteran. Maybe you don't have quite the athleticism, but they're handle the moment. This Lions team feels like it's ready for that. So it's a different challenge that Jordan Love presents. It's a different looking offense than what they saw. We'll see what happens with the Packers on the health front. But yeah, if I'm the Lions right now, Buck, I'm feeling good about it. I'll tell you, the two rookies might be one of the reasons why I feel so good about it. Sam LaPorta, what he's doing on offense. Jahmyr Gibbs in the backfield. Those guys are playmakers from day one. They fit right into this offense. It works. You can talk about Jack Campbell on the defensive side of the ball. They've got a lot of pieces, a lot of young pieces that are playing really well right now.
They do. And don't even forget about Brian Branch, because he's been playing at a high level, stepping in, playing kind of that nickel safety role. He's been terrific. This is a team, man. You look at the Detroit Lions in terms of a team that really fits the personality of the coach. They are a gritty bunch. We can talk about their defense, and we've talked about it before, but offensively, the way that they can morph into whatever they need to in game action, meaning they can throw it all over the yard with Jared Goff, but they also, when it gets tough for them, they can line up and run the football behind that talented offensive line. This is a team that is built for the long haul. I like what I'm seeing from Detroit, and so this is why this is such a big game. Two young teams, two teams that are kind of trying to find their way in the NFC, man, the winner gets to take a step up in the division and kind of inch closer to securing the division title and making a playoff run.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, there's a lot to like about, you know, not just the running back spot and the young players that we've been talking about with the Lions, but Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, obviously if he stays healthy, and I know he's kind of been a bit banged up, you know, he's kind of one of those, you know, 7-11 options for Jared Goff. Feels like you can just always find him, always open somewhere. And, you know, I think the offensive line that they put together there in Detroit is a lot of fun to watch, too, with Ragnow and Penei Sewell. And when Taylor Decker comes back healthy, but Graham Glasgow up there, Jonah Jackson, like they've got some dudes that fit what Dan Campbell is, what this offense is. And I think, you know, we still got to give a ton of credit to what Ben Johnson's been able to do as one of those kind of offensive ingenuity, you know, relatively inexperienced younger play callers that continues to rise and elevate what he does to find the best place, you know, to put these guys in good positions to win. So there's, you know, then this defense is playing a lot better than it was, you know, especially during the first half of last season. This is going to be a heck of a Thursday nighter. That's for sure.
Yeah. And this is a Lions offense, by the way. They're eighth in the league with 19 explosives. So in the passing game, so they've been able to get big chunks.
Amon-Ra St. Brown's
been a big part of that. And think about Yeah, no, they've spread it around, done a nice job. The crazy thing, though, I was looking at this, 19 explosive. That's a big number, tied for eighth. The Dolphins, 35. So the Dolphins, let's leave the Dolphins in their own category at this point in time, early in the season. But an explosive offense for Detroit and Jordan Love leading a Green Bay team that is off to an excellent start. So a big-time matchup on Thursday night. All right, this was not on the list, but I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys about this, so I'm going to add this to the list. The Oregon-Colorado game that we saw last week.
Oh, okay.
Got a lot of attention, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Not just because Oregon, you know, was able to get after it and had a big win over over Coach Prime and that Colorado group, but because of the pregame speech that Dan Lanning gave, which personally I had no problem with whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It made its way onto the broadcast. And then I feel like, Buck, people came off the top rope with opinions for and against. I found that kind of funny. If you could see everybody's pregame speech, that is one on a scale of 1 to 100 of what you can get to. But anyways, I didn't get your take on that, Buck and Rhett, so I'll listen to see what you got to say.
Look, this is what's going to happen. When you're a team like Colorado, who has been – very, I won't say in your face, but they've kind of given us all access to their program. So we've heard everything behind the scenes, in front of the camera, about Colorado, we coming and all that other stuff. And so Prime is always going to get a lot of attention. And sometimes that brings about some jealousy, but maybe some envy from other programs who also would like to have that light shed on their programs. What you saw was, I would say, a brilliant motivational tactic by Dan Lanning for a team that was a 3 or 4 touchdown favorite, to make them feel like they've been disrespected by another team. And so you're always looking for something to kind of set the fire, to spark your team. He did a great job of playing to the cameras in pregame, but also kind of hitting that switch for his team. And I will say the bigger part was how he carried that anger, that intensity to the field, where they're going for it on fourth and forever, fake punts, kind of getting it going. So I understand it. And everyone who supports Prime, who doesn't like Prime, this is where we are. This is college football. This is the WWE taking over college football. I like this because rather than having this fake stuff like we like everybody, no, it should be contentious. It's a game. My team versus your team. Let's get after it. I like it.
Yeah, this feels like to me, it's unfortunate. It's the last year of the Pac-12, but it feels like the South and the Southern style of college football. If you think about the SEC, think about going back to old school, you know, Miami, Florida State out, you know, in the ACC. This is what that, or the Big East, I guess what it would have been way back in the day. But this is a Southern brand of football where they take it seriously. Think about Jimbo Fisher calling out Nick Saban. Think about all the stuff we've seen over the years. Mm-hmm. You saw it with Ed Orgeron. We've seen it with Lane Kiffin. Like, there's all these personal rivalries and wars. I think even last year, gosh, who was it? We had, Shane Beamer, I think, put on the sunglasses and did all, you know, talking about, I don't know who they were playing. Do you remember
Clemson? South Carolina Clemson,
thank you. Thank you. So this has always taken place in the South. In the West Coast, it's just been this nice, let's play nice with each other. And all of a sudden, Dion brought some swagger. Dan Lanning coming from Georgia. This is how they talk. This is how they talk in that conference. Everything is personal. Everything is a war. And you're trying to go out there and just, you know, beat people up fairly within the lines and talk about it while you do it. That's why it's so fun to see it finally come this way, Rhett. Unfortunately, it's like, we finally get to see it. And then the whole conference goes away.
Give me more of it. Okay. Like, this is amazing theater. Like, come on. Like, this is why we love college football. Like, bringing this stuff back and getting away from the boring, like, you're great, we're great. Like, no. Tell us how you really feel. And then, you know, going out there and telling your team that, I thought that was great. And I thought it was good that you retraced Dan Lanning to Georgia, because you remember, I was sitting up at the very top level in the auxiliary media section at SoFi Stadium when Kirby Smart got on the podium after winning a second straight national title and goes, "Nobody thought we could do it." And I was like, "What?"
1-to-1, wire to wire.
Thought you were going to do it. The point is, it does not matter what the external thought and perception is. It's how you communicate that message to your team, the way you want them to play. And that's exactly what Dan Lanning did. And I hope he does it every week. And as for all the stuff on the field with the decision makings, remember the Titans, leave no doubt, run it up. Like they would, I mean, just go get after it, man. Like that's, I love a little bit of, you know, uneasiness, you know, when a college football game ends and like in the lead up to the game, like just kind of brings the tension. I'm all for it here.
Yeah, to me, guys, I guess I should. I don't want to leave out the Midwest because if you think about Ohio State, Michigan, that's been a little testy over the years, right? What was that? Who was it? That's our producer. You can get in my ear. Was it Woody Hayes when they asked him why'd you go for two and he said because they wouldn't let me go for three? I can't remember.
Yes.
I can't remember who that was.
Where's Lou Holtz? Where's Lou Holtz?
Yeah. Lou Holtz got into it. By the way, quick on that one, Buck. Were you watching that? Did you get a chance to see the Ohio State ending there against Notre Dame when Notre Dame had 10 on the field for two plays in a row?
What are we doing?
Oh, look, man, you talk about like just kind of being blown away. And we've had Marcus Freeman on the show. And I love him. I love what they're doing at Notre Dame. But to me, the last 3 minutes, they mismanaged how you coach that game. We can talk about what they had on offense and how they could have forced Ohio State to burn up the timeouts. But then even in that situation, game is on the line. And I know you're short one and you don't want to burn a timeout and have the penalty and do those things, but it's a half yard. It's like this much, like that much. Like to give them that, put 11 on the field and see if you can stop them. Just don't give them a super advantage like that. 11 on 10, that's one that's hard, and that'll be hard for that fan base to forget if it goes sour for Notre Dame later in the season.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the last thing I'll kind of button it up on that one is, and I don't remember it, Marcus Freeman actually calling the defense. I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking about this with someone the other day about in the NFL, the challenge of calling the defense and then being the head coach because you're trying to think two plays ahead and then some of the bigger picture stuff in terms of timeouts, clock management. I know you have people in your ear, but it's different. It's got to be a lot less stressful, Buck, as a head coach, and you do it. I mean, you're on the high school level. The difference between being able to just be the head coach versus have to be thinking as a play caller, offense or defense, I feel like this stuff has a chance to pop up more often.
It does have a chance to pop up. I think Al Golden is calling the defense, and Marcus is around it. But look, I'll say it, man. You're still always learning as a head coach, and Marcus is learning real time. It's unfortunate. He's learning on maybe arguably the biggest brand that you can do it on in college football. And so those egregious mistakes are spotlighted more. He's done a really good job because I will say this. I thought they were in control of the game for most of the game in terms of how they played it. It's just unfortunate that they didn't finish it, and they didn't finish it, I would say, maybe due to some coaching faux pas that cost them.
Ryan Day was hot after the game, too. He let Lou Holtz get under his skin a little bit. He was fired up on that one.
But Ohio! Anyway, it's Ohio versus everybody! Ohio versus the world!
Everybody!
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm going to be honest with you.
That's all.
I didn't know that. I didn't know it was Ohio versus the world all the time. I didn't know that. Like, I needed somebody to tell me that. I didn't know. I thought it was always Detroit. That's in Michigan. I thought it was Detroit versus everyone. I didn't know it was just Ohio. The whole state.
No, clearly you did not do your homework. It's Ohio versus the entire world, Buck. The entire universe against Ohio. All right, this is a fun one today, guys. We had a lot to get into. I feel like we covered a lot of ground. We've got more coming your way all week here with the fellas, so be on the lookout for that. In the meantime, appreciate it. We'll see you next time on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.